call this meeting to order. Sorry, we don't have any microphones, so I'll try to speak pretty loudly. And if you can't hear, just let me know and we can reiterate the question or comments. So just a few housekeeping items. We have staff reports and agendas in the back if you don't have one. All comments that were submitted within 24 hours, we already received a copy of that. But if you have new comments, you can either give it to us now or do it during the public hearing process. All speakers should state their name and the city that they're representing or the neighborhood they're from. Every speaker will have 3 minutes to speak on the item. We'll only do a decision on items that are agendized. We won't do any decisions that are not agendized. Any comments that are not pertaining to agenda topics could be brought up at the end, but we can't make a decision on those that are not agendized. All right, so to start, we'll do a call to order. Could everyone state their name and the agency or division they represent?
Ruben Coleman, Orange County Fire Authority.
Eric Paul, OC Parks.
Richard Baum, representing Planning and Development Services, and also the chairman.
Stephen Dawson, representing OC Survey.
Ted Dang, OC Public Works.
All right, so going on to the minutes, has every member reviewed the minutes from our last April 3rd, 2019 meeting?
Yes.
Any comments, questions, or a motion? Get a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve the minutes.
A second?
I second.
So the minutes have been approved for April 3rd, 2019. All right, so going on to our discussion items. We do have one public hearing today for item number one. It's a best intended track map, BTTM 17605. Do we have a presentation for staff?
We do. Good afternoon. I'm Robert Segarra, contract planner in the Land Development Division. I'll be presenting. The applicant, New Home Company, requests approval of B's best intended track map 17605. To subdivide 8.18-acre site within subarea 2.3 of the Branch Plan Community into 70 legal lots, which includes 62 numbered lots for conventional single-family detached dwellings, one numbered lot for a neighborhood pocket park, and 7 lettered lots for slopes and landscaped areas. The project site was formally recorded as a portion of Track 17596 on October 6, 2017. Track 17596 originally created 72 legal lots, which included 56 numbered lots for conventional single-family detached dwellings, one numbered lot for a neighborhood landscaped paseo, and 15 lettered lots for slopes and landscaped areas. The proposed project site for this vesting tentative track map 17605 is essentially the northern half of Track 17596, encompassing 31 numbered lots and 8 lettered lots of the recorded track. The project site has been upgraded to create pads consistent with Track 17596, and street and storm grade improvements have been completed. However, no further construction has occurred. Under proposed vesting tentative track map 17605, the quantity of numbered lots in the project site would increase from 31 lots to 63, and lettered lots would decrease from 8 lots to 7 lots. Although residential lot sizes will decrease to allow for the addition of 32 numbered lots, all the proposed lots will still meet the minimum required building site area of 3,000 square feet per the Ranch Plan PC text, with the smallest lot proposed measuring 3,822 square feet. Additionally, proposed subdivision will not change the existing alignment of streets in and around the recorded track 17596. The proposed tentative track map has been designed as a traditional suburban subdivision to accommodate single-family detached dwellings with front-loaded garages along a double-loaded residential loop street, which is consistent with the design of the existing track 17596. A copy of the tentative map application submittal package was distributed for review and comment to county staff, consultants, and OCFA. A copy of the Orange County Fire Authority approved fire master plan has been included as part of the project plans. And a notice of public meeting was mailed to all property owners of record within 300 feet of the subject site on May 23rd, 2019. Additionally, notices were posted at the site at the Orange County Hall of Administration and at 300 North Fire Building as required by established public meeting posting procedures. CEQA compliance, the proposed project is covered by previous CEQA documentation, which includes final program EIR 589, the addendums 1.0 and 1.1, and the plan and area 2 addendum. This finding is appropriate and complies with the intent of CEQA pursuant to the 2014 Orange County Local Secret Procedures Manual, Sections 6 and 11, Appendix G, for projects where a previous environmental document is already in place. Further CEQA evaluation and clearances are not required for the proposed BESI itinerary track map 17605. To conclude, OOC Land Development staff supports the proposed BESI itinerary track map 17605 and recommends that the subdivision committee take the recommended actions as listed in the staff report. This concludes staff's presentation, and staff, as well as the applicant, are available for any questions that you may have. Thank you.
So before we open the public comments, do we have any questions from subdivision members?
No. Good questions for Parks.
So I just have a few, because I know we have some members of the public in the audience. Robert, can you go over like the noticing requirements and like the distance that's required by law? So they know?
Sure. The 300-foot radius is actually measured from the project site boundary. Not one particular lot, it's the entire boundary. And the applicant is required to do a noticing for all properties within that radius, even if they just touch it. So all properties within that 300-foot radius have been notified.
And then my next question is, mainly from the letter that we received, is can you just explain like the next step in the development process? So the subdivision committee will only talk about property lines, but can you talk about potential product type or what that process entails?
Sure. The proposed land use district for this track is conventional single family detached dwellings from the ranch PC tax. The next level of review would be the model site complex, which is associated with this track, which is currently being processed. And that is actually located to on the southern portion of this track. And with that, the applicant has provided floor plans and elevations for their different types of housing products that they're proposing. And they've also provided a lotting plan for the track as well.
And just one last question before we open the public comments. I know there was a concern over parking, so can you just talk about how the staff will calculate parking for the development?
Yeah, actually, so in conventional single family, the zoning code requires two covered spaces. In this case, every home is going to be provided with a two-car garage. And in the zoning code, you are required to have a minimum 17-foot long driveway. Otherwise, you're required to provide additional parking on the street at one half space per home. In this case, the plotting has showed that each home will not only have a two-car garage, but will also have a minimum 17-foot long driveway. The additional parking standards that are required for this track is that guest parking has to be provided at 0.2 spaces per home, I'm sorry. And in this case, the applicant has provided a parking plan that far exceeds that. All parking is proposed along Topaz, which is the interior street, and along Madonna, which is the exterior street.
So with that, I'll open it to public comments. So if we come up, make sure you sign your name on the sign-in sheet, and then state your name and where you're from.
I think I'll put my name on first. So hi, my name is Tracy Taylor. I'm a resident at 7 Alianta Lane, which is just in the very corner of the blue line code on this map, so AH14. I have two main areas of concern. I have a property that we purchased around a year ago, which is just in front of that small red box. We did extensive research before we bought our property, contacting the new home company, which was a property we were living in at the time, and, up in Portola Springs, and we contacted our builder at the time we were in line to understand what was being built in front of our house before we actually agreed to purchase the home. We received plans, including lot plans, including pad heights, around the fact it was a single story lot and there would be a single story property and then one single home. My understanding now is that there's going to be two story houses now placed directly in front of our property, which we paid a premium for as a view lot. I'm told that they're going to be 6.5 foot higher than the original and they're now going to be two houses, basically crammed into one single lot, which is at the end of a park. That obviously impacts us from a view perspective and also from a living standard point of view, and also we are looking to potentially relocate back overseas It also is going to impact us in terms of a resale perspective, and we're obviously paying property taxes on that higher lot premium, given the fact that we had a view. So that's my first concern. The second concern that I have is if you look at the playground, so along in front on Madonna Street is a very long park area called the backyard. It's an open park, which means it can be used by any resident from any location. It is busy all day, every day, with cars that are parked on the road. It's a two-way street. When there's a car parked on that street, and you can go at very time during the day, it's actually very difficult for cars to get around from there. It includes Ladera residents and so forth. The perceived lot that they're actually talking about increasing the number of houses on, which with increasing parking, would be directly opposite that, including additional construction. The construction is already a problem on that street at the moment with the debris that it leaves, but also the size of trucks and the fact there's no fence for children. My concern is, having young children myself, is that any small child can run out beside one of those cars, and because there's two sets of cars going both ways, even though there's no houses there at the moment, it already poses a risk. Thank you.
Any other public comments?
I'm Maria Latsis, and I also live in the Lion development there, 15 Alianza. And I second what Tracy said basically with the park. That really is a huge concern. That park is a lot, it's just very active, and it's fantastic, but there's a lot of cars. And our neighborhood as well has the two-car garage, as well as the driveway that you can park in. And as we all know, there's extra cars in the development, and so there's a ton on the streets, and it becomes quite difficult. So trash day causes a huge problem. There's no place for the cars to go. You start adding in all of these additional homes, you're doubling the number of houses that were going to eventually be across from that park. It's going to be a big problem. So I would really, really like for you guys to consider another parking alternative. Either maybe you make it so there's no parking on that street, at least in front of the park itself. Something to protect, because there will be a problem. I mean, it's a fantastically beautiful park, but you would hate to have something happen.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks. Yeah, can I just add one more thing? Sorry, just the one thing I do know from when we purchased the house is there was a restriction initially that was placed on the lots with regards to being able to actually park on the driveways because of the safety concerns around fire trucks getting down there. And even though they also fell into that 17-foot, I think you said, allocation, I know that William Lyon themselves had some major issues in trying to get that passed through. And the other lots around us, like Vivaz and Topaz, which are the were owned by Cal Atlantic on that, Lennar had issues around parking as well. I would express concerns in terms of the congestion that's there, and I think that needs to also be looked at, because you know, most people, from what I can see, have their garage half filled with their things, not their cars. So even though there's a provision for two-car parking, I think it's very unlikely that people are going to park in the garage.
Is the applicant here? Does that want to speak at all?
I don't have any comment.
So with that, I'll close the public comment period. So we'll go over to discussion. Does any of the members have comments or questions right now? So I'll start off then. So I know parking was a big concern. I think Robert kind of addressed it already, but I do want to reiterate kind of what our subdivision committee's jurisdiction is, I guess. So we're just in charge of creating the property lines. But based on what Robert was saying, there is another process to develop the actual product type and address parking at that time. So for my area of expertise is land use. We're just looking at the property lines itself. So with the parking cell, we can make sure that the staff and applicant consider parking when they get to that next phase of the project. But with just the dividing up of property of land and property lines, parking is not one of the things that we discuss on on-site parking, at least. We do discuss circulation and street widths, but for this project, I think you're more concerned about how many cars will be parked on the street. So that will be the next phase of the development.
And does that include street widths of the area in front of the playground, because I would assume that would fall into your jurisdiction?
It did when that playground came through the first time. So if you look at the limits of the property in question, it doesn't cover that piece of street. It's only on their site. So our jurisdiction is locked into, our decision is only locked into their site. But there is another phase that will come through that for those up.
So from OC Parks perspectives, I want to thank staff for a complete and thorough staff report. When OC Parks looks at these types of proposals, we're primarily interested in is the map itself resulting in any additional regional park requirements that would ultimately be assumed by OC Parks? Are there any trail connections, riding and hiking trail connections, or open space dedications being offered as part of the map? Having reviewed the staff report, I understand that there aren't any such dedications or requirements being being created by this map. So, OC Parks has no additional concerns or questions at this time.
I'm just speaking on behalf of fire. So I see there's an approved Bessing Kennedy track map and an approved fire master plan, which sets down the requirements for minimum park road widths for the fire protection plan. It does look like the cross sections for this tract, including Topaz and Medano, meet those requirements. I was wondering if I can ask a question of the applicant. Do you know for a fact that the streets are measured from flow line to flow line on the cross-section diagrams off of the Bessing tentative track map?
I do.
Okay.
Jay Bullock from Rancho Mission Viejo. Yes, that street was originally approved that way per the Ranch Plan Fire Protection Program and our guidelines.
Okay.
As part of the master tract.
Thank you for confirming that. The minimum road width that allows parking on both sides is 36 feet. And if you want to do parking on one side, it's 28 feet minimum. Anything below that is then no parking on either side. And so the areas surrounding this tract and this development seem to comply with the minimum requirements that we set forth. And that's based on our apparatus, the width that we need in order to pass each other. We understand that there will be parking on the streets, and sometimes people park outside the lines. Maybe they don't pay attention to where they should park at all times. But there's also a fire lane that's posted if there is no parking in an area. And those areas are enforced by the local regulations, by the homeowners associations. They can call for a tow company based on the number that's posted on the signage. So just wanted to reiterate that for this location, I don't see anything that's untoward or outside of our minimum development standards.
Any other comments or questions from the committee?
I would just also acknowledge the comments that we received from the public. Those are all very real issues. I'm dealing with those in my own neighborhood, actually. I just hope you understand the explanation that Mr. Vaughn provided. There is a next step in the process for those types of zoning issues to be discussed. Ultimately the development will have to comply with current regulation, but I just want to make sure you understand what subdivision committee is bound to act on those items that are under our purview, which is just the map itself, and as Mr. Vaughn explained, the property lines and the actual subdivision. So, but thank you.
All right, so with that, can I get a motion? Does anyone want to discuss further? A motion then?
Oh, let's see, if I can take a shot at it. Let's see. So, I would make a motion to approve Bessing Tentative Track Map 17605, consistent with the staff report on the recommended actions in the June 5th, 2019. Report. And the CEQA findings, which are located on page 5.
And get a second?
I'll second it.
So do a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed? So that approves our public hearing. But with that said, I do want to explain what the next steps are if you are interested in if there is a potential appeal. So within, I believe, 10 days of this action, you can file an appeal with our development processing center upstairs on the first floor. Or you can also do it online too, on our online permitting system. It's a $500 fee. But then that will bring it to the next stage. If that's something you guys are interested in, that will go to the planning commission as a next step. And that's also a public hearing. That's just for the map itself. Like we said, there is another development phase of what the models and what the products look like, but that's a separate project and separate action. So with that, that covers our only public hearing item. Do we have any other public comments in general or non-agendized items? If not, I'll end the meeting and adjourn this meeting for the subdivision committee.